Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, may the words on my mouth and the meditation on our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, some explanation is in order this morning. A little strange. I am this morning Dr. Luke. That's right, the Dr. Luke from the first century, the physician, the writer of the Gospel. Still a little strange, in fact, to read from the book that I wrote those years before, and that you're still reading from that book. It's kind of a little jog to my head there. But I kind of a time warp. Somehow I was zipped here by Wheatridge Ministries. I'll say a little bit about Wheatridge in just a second. But I was 1 minute traveling with Paul the Apostle in the Mediterranean. The next thing I know, I'm here in the 21st century trying to adjust to life here. And I must say, well, first of all, I'm the most comfortable in places of worship like this, where we gather and we've had confession, hymns, the scripture readings, all those that we're going to gather around the sacrament later. All of those things are very close to what I experienced back many 2,000 years ago. And this is where I'm the most comfortable. There are things, however, I do not understand. I'm a little confused by them here in the 21st century. One of them is what you call rush hour. I have no idea what's happening. Nobody's moving very quickly in what you call rush hour. The thing I'm most confused by is what you call fast food. I'm a doctor. I know it's fast. I'm just not convinced it's food. That's the thing I'm a little confused by. I mentioned that somehow Wheatridge Ministries was the one that found some kind of a machine to zip me from the first century to the 21st. At some point, they'll send me back. And by the way, when they do, I'm looking for some way to take some of this artwork back with me, if there'd be a way to do that. And the music that you guys have, the instruments, wonderful. Take that back with me. But a couple words about Wheatridge. So if you've heard about them before, I like to say some things about them as I travel. Wheatridge Ministries is an organization, it's a foundation that has been for years now, since way back in 1905. Back in 1905, it was focused on tuberculosis. But by the 1950s, no more tuberculosis in this country, basically. So it became a foundation that wanted to help congregations just like yours do creative ministries around health and wellness. Some examples. There's a congregation in Lincoln, Nebraska, that is very interested in prison ministry, working with folks who are in prison and mostly coming out of prison. You know, first century, 21st century, same thing is happening. Two-thirds of the men and women that get out of prison 1 year later, guess what? It's like a revolving door. They're back in again 1 year later, 66%. This congregation in Lincoln, Nebraska said, I think we could make a difference in the name of Jesus there. So we just helped them with a grant to get some training, and they built relationships with these men prior to their departure from the prison, stayed with them afterwards, and 66% in Lincoln, Nebraska is now down to less than 10% because the congregation said, I think we can make a difference in the name of Jesus. Another congregation in St. Louis said, we want our people to be healthy. And again, as a doctor, I'm very interested in that. And so they said, we're going to put a very well-equipped exercise room in our church. They had space to do that. And just said to the members, come and get healthy, get fit. They analyzed the time frame that was being used, and they found that from 11 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, basically it was empty every day. So they came to Wheatridge for a grant, and Wheatridge said, we can help you with that. They funded a staff person to be there from 11 to 3 every day, not as technical rehab, but to help people to do rehab kinds of things on great equipment, and lives are changed. There's a man there who was going to lose both his legs to amputation because of very bad circulation. Some exercise under some care, and the doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. Your legs are fine. So some dramatic things are happening, again, in lots of congregations around the country, just like yours, really around the world, with the help of Wheatridge. And Wheatridge is kind of a strange foundation. It's a foundation that really gives away, two-thirds of what we give away comes from congregations just like you and individuals. And then afterwards, we invite you to come. There's a table back there. We'll have some information about some resources. One's on chronic pain, on cancer, and on Parkinson's. And my favorite thing that they do, it's a little strange little thing, it's a little bookmark, 50 Hints for Living Well in the Lord. Number one, stop global whining. Yeah. All right, you can check that out. But I want to talk now about God multiplying. And especially, I'm going to come back to these lessons we heard on this, the first day of the year, and on, as we remember the baptism of our Lord and the naming of Jesus. And by the way, this is, Paul would love this. I know I can't take it back, but Paul would love one of these things. And I want to just, if you have one of these things and you do not have a Bible on your smartphone, put a Bible on there, a Bible in your pocket. It's an amazing thing. I want to read from you, again, it's a little embarrassing, but I'm going to read from the book of Luke. And chapter 10, it's a story you've heard before, but I'd like to read the beginning part of this story and then talk about this in a second. This is from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the man, wanting to justify himself, asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho," and the story goes on. You know the story, the Good Samaritan story, right? At the end of that story, here's what Jesus poses, the question. "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Familiar words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes. Now, I'd like to focus on those words for a little bit, but I'm going to split them into two groups. Mind and strength first, and then we'll get to heart and soul. Again, as a doctor, I'm fascinated, flabbergasted might be a better word, and what you have come to know about how the body works these days compared to what we knew back in the first century. I'm in awe, and I'm particularly interested in the brain. Fascinating what you know about how the brain works. And I, in other contexts, when I have a little more time, I do a workshop around three things that I've learned here in the 21st century about how dramatically the brain is affected by three very simple things: exercise, diet, what you eat, and play, or rest, or sleep. Now think about this. If God views us as His toolbox, and I think He does, He's got work to do in the world, and how does He get that done? Through your and my hands and feet, right? So we're the toolbox. Imagine what it's like if you have a pen, you take a pen out, and it doesn't write. Don't you hate that? Oh, you need to get another pen. Or you take a saw, and you want to cut some wood with a saw. And you ever tried cutting wood with a dull saw? Oh, your arm gets tired. It's horrible. You and I are God's toolbox, and this morning I want to have you think a little bit about how you and I have cared for our bodies so that we can be good tools in the toolbox. When God pulls us out, we're a pen that writes, and we're a saw that's sharp to cut. Now, I understand that in this world of sin, that people still get sick and people will die. Well, we all will die. I understand that. But here's the thing. Our bodies have been made by God incredibly well. So when we care for them, they're in good shape for well into our aging years to be serving God well. Now, I want to share with you a couple examples about just the exercise portion of that. I know that there's good things we can say about what we eat and don't eat and about how we rest and sleep. And in fact, when we confess, there's really some things that we need to confess about that in our lives, about how well we've done or not done in those areas. But some quick things about exercise. In my workshop, I talked about a young man named Destin Mesner. He lives in Canada, in a place called Saskatoon. He's in a school that's an alternative high school. Now, if you know alternative high school, that's kind of code word for it's the school of last resort for these students, okay? And Destin has what's called ODD. Anybody heard of ODD before? I know you have a lot of alphabets, by the way, in the 21st century. ADHD, OCD. The ODD is called Oppositional Defiance Disorder. All you need to know is what the name implies, okay? Destin's plan for his day at school was to make life as miserable as possible for his teacher. If his teacher said up, Destin's going down. If his teacher said over, Destin's going under. And by the way, he would swear at his teacher all day long till the air was thick and blue. That was Destin's day at school. This young teacher said, is this the best we can do with this young man and other students like him? Now, Destin was not the only one. He was kind of like the poster child for ODD. And so this young teacher came across a book entitled Spark. Spark by John Rady. It connects how exercise affects the brain. So this young teacher said to her principal, can I put some exercise equipment in my math classroom? By the way, I have a little hint about why Destin was ticked off in math class. 3-hour math class. Yeah. Now, here's what happened. The principal said, you know, nothing else is working. Try the exercise. So she got donations for some equipment, and every student in her class for the first 20 minutes of math class would work on the treadmills till they sweat really hard. Then they get off and do math for the rest of the time. In 4 months, Destin was a totally changed... Now, he's not out of the woods yet. There's still some challenges in Destin's life, but Destin was embarrassed after 4 months about how he used to act and what changed in his life. Basically, exercise changed Destin to be a contributing young man in this classroom. That's how our bodies work very incredibly well when we take care of them. There's another thing that they're finding out, and this is connected to movement in the brain. There's a thing called brain breaks. Brain breaks. A lot of schools are doing, not too many. More and more are learning about this. Brain breaks. Naperville Central High School in Chicago area is one of them that's using this. Try, copy my hands if you're comfortable doing this. I want you to clap your hands gently like this. Now take your right hand, cross it over top of your left. Now clap the backs of your hands. Okay, now cross, turn your hands over so that you can now clap the front of your hands again. Grab them like you're going to say a prayer and come through. Don't break anything. Okay, good. Now cross your right foot over top of your left foot. Okay. Ha-ha. This is what they call a pretzel. Ha-ha. Okay, unpretzel yourself. That's good. Now, they call that a brain break. Here's what happens. In many schools, more and more these days, they're learning that you know that our brains are split into two halves, right hemisphere, left hemisphere. I knew that in my head, but I saw a video recently where when you take your brain, you can't do this, Norm, but suppose you could take your brain out of your head without any knife involved at all, it totally opens up into two separate halves. You need the whole brain to be working, but they're totally separate. So how do they communicate with each other is what's called the corpus callosum. God put it together that way, not sure why, but that's how it is. And these weird brain break things help the brain kind of get, it's kind of like the brain goes, kind of wakes up, and the kids are fresher every 20 minutes or so, maybe a half hour. Some of these schools will go, time for brain break. Do whatever, the teachers will do X, Y, Z, and the kids get back in order. So we're learning more about how our bodies are affected positively by movement and exercise. And of course, we could go on with the food and diet and with rest and sleep. Lots of ways that our brains and our whole bodies are affected by how we care for them with decisions we make every day. Hence the need for us to confess that when we come to confess other sins. Now, that's mind and strength. Heart and soul. It could be possible for us to be totally buff and still be in trouble with God, right? Heart and soul. The fact of the matter is, our hearts need to be changed by God. Think back to that young man in our story. His first question was, he was on the wrong track. What must I do to be saved? Wrong. Jesus humored him a little bit and said, well, what does the Bible say? And he's kind of playing along with him, but that was the wrong question. And Jesus knew that. The young man had to learn that. He continued wanting to justify himself. Again, a wrong question. When it comes to justifying ourselves, can't be done. We remember on this day, and really we started it about a month ago at the beginning of Advent, as we mark our journey again every year where we retell the story of Christ's birth and now today his naming and baptism, and then it continues on the journey to the cross. All of those are reminders again of what God has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. I'm learning about a thing called a fender bender. You know what fender benders are? Cars are just amazing to me, but I'm learning about fender benders. You know, fender bender is when you crunch into somebody and the fender's cracked in, it looks bad, but guess what? You can still keep driving, right? Sometimes we have the mistaken notion that that's what sin is like in our lives. Okay, I messed up, but I'm just not that bad. That's nothing like what sin is like in our lives. If you want to use a car wreck analogy about sin, think about a car wreck with what? No survivors. Nobody makes it out of sin's car wreck. We need the good news of Jesus Christ. So heart and soul, Christ changes us through the work that Christ has done for us. He gives us new life. We're going to celebrate that in our communion today, that new life. Every time we wake up in the morning, God is fresh and new for us, grace for that day to be new and changed. And then we have, yes, responsibility to share, because again, that story, in the context of that story with our young man with the conversation with Jesus, what the young man was looking for was a little narrow box. Who is my neighbor? Okay, I want to just tell me who to take care of. I'll worry about those guys, and then I can ignore everybody else. That's kind of what he was thinking about. How did Jesus flip that question around? He said, who was the neighbor? That's a whole different perspective on it. So in your and my life, we're the tools in God's toolbox. He wants to pluck us out and make us He's got work for us to do here in Sacramento or wherever we happen to live. And then he says, first of all, he says, I've made you new. You're mine. I claim you as my child, and I've made you new in Christ. Now, here's the thing we want. Now, I want to share one more verse with you. That when I heard Paul say this back in the day, even when I read it again, it's a little jarring to think about this because it's not what we expect. This is from Colossians chapter 1. I'm looking at the last two verses. Here's what it says. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone, not just the people we like or the people who are like us. We want to present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I, Paul, struggle with all. See, now, I thought he was going to say, I, Paul, struggle with all my energy. That's not what he says. He says, I, Paul, struggle with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. That's a huge difference. You know, when God gives us work to do, and indeed he does, he doesn't just chuck us out there and say, okay, you're on your own. No. He puts us in the context of a congregation just like this, and there are thousands, hundreds of thousands, more than that even, around the world and across time that have been placed, you've been placed here to be nurtured and cared for and encouraged by this group and to be an encouragement to others yourselves. And then when God sends us out, and he does, he doesn't just leave us on our own. It says right here, it's God's power that works through us. God changes us in Christ, and it's his power that's working through us to get his work done in the world around us. So it's my prayer that you and I can be bold in our service, that we can be thankful that Christ has claimed us through the blood and the death and the resurrection of his very dear Son, and that when the chance comes and God plucks us out to be his tool, that we will, again, with Christ's help, have made good decisions to be a strong and ready servant to accomplish his will in this world. Amen.
From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news in every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to all the world and gladly sing. To you this night is born a child of Mary, chosen virgin mild. This newborn child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. This is the Christ, God's Son, Most High, who hears your sad and bitter cry, who will himself your from all sin will set you free. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber in my heart, that you and I may never part. My heart for very joy now leaps, my voice no longer silence keeps. I too must sing with joyful heart that Jesus' ancient cradle song. Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us the Son has given. When angels sing in pious mirth, a glad new year to all the earth.
Rejoicing in this new year of grace, let us bring our prayers for the church, all creation, and the needs of the world before God. Let us pray for all the baptized, rejoicing in our adoption of children of God, and by the power of the Spirit, confessing the name of Jesus. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.